a tool where we can share attributes about individuals. That would then allow the users to make decisions to allow access to data or information, whether or not, you know, we know who the person is, and if you know who the person is, are you going to allow them to have the information, and do they need to have the information given their attribute or their role and responsibility? Right now, the staff are working on attribute governance, directories to find out where the data is located, and really sort of rules of the road for sharing data.
And you're doing this with the information sharing environment, the program manager. This is a multi-agency effort.
Yes, it's definitely a multi-agency effort. We sort of work behind the scenes with OMB and DHS and DNI on this effort.
How far along are you? Would you characterize it as just getting started? Are you halfway there? And then the timeline of when this will be out. Roughly.
I would say we're probably about halfway there. This is a huge effort. So this is really in terms of the PKI. I always compare things to my old CFO world. This is like management's responsibility for internal controls. So this is sort of management's responsibilities for attributes. What does that really look like, and what do we need to do to define the roles and responsibilities? So, and this should be sort of the first round of this. So we're hoping that it's an excellent product, but it may need refinement as we go. So we're looking for 2012.
GSA's role is twofold here. Obviously, you guys have that role around HSPD-12, secure ID cards, also the federal bridge that includes the public key infrastructure. Are you kind of acting as that facilitator role to bring in, as you said, DNI, DOD, DHS, others?
Well, I think they all have their particular leads, so we work in conjunction with them to ensure that that we're moving out on the back end attribute exchange. That has really been work that we're doing with DNI at this point, and a sort of MOU that we put in place with them to ensure that on the unclassified side that we're following what are usually the best practices. I mean, on the intelligence side and on the defense side, they have moved out faster than we have for obvious reasons, and so we want to make sure that on the civilian side we are in lockstep with them.
When we talk about back-end attribute, one of the things you mentioned was also something around personal security clearances and eventually maybe all of this being put in some kind of portal. Obviously, I know it's maybe still early, but can you give me a sense of what some of the thinking is about?
In terms of sort of information or website information, PII type information, would that be a possibility? So we know that it's pretty difficult in terms of, for example, building access. We still don't have where, you know, a Fed can go from building to building and get in, put in a PIN number and access into a building. Again, that would be related to whether that they had the right attribute. Or do they really need access to that building? So there's work underway there, but it's all in the preliminary stage.
Let me shift on you for a second, because you also mentioned a .gov domain policy. You said that's something that's been kind of quiet for a number of years, but maybe you're going to ramp it up. Give me a sense of what it is and how you're going to ramp it up.
So that is specific work with the CIO's office at OMB. So .gov domain policy, as in who and how you use .gov across the federal government and with state and locals, was issued out about 10 years ago, I think it was, and it needs to be updated. Much has changed in the information sharing world, and the question is, what is the proper structure going forward for the .gov domain framework? And so we need to get that underway. We have spoken with OMB about how we can move out on that. You know, right now there's been a lot of concentration on web management and a whole effort and focus there, and we are looking now to out of the Office of Citizen Services and Innovative Technology. So OGP is thinking that it's time to ramp up on the .gov domain policy world. We have a lot of demand. We've had a lot of questions. A lot of folks from some folks from NASIO are interested in what we need to do. This will take a real sort of, you know, sort of I would call it a crowdsource effort in terms of how we need to move forward and what makes sense. And we want to make it agile. You know, one of the things I'm experiencing in with government-wide policy is that policies have been put out there, and it's like they're carved in stone. Oh, we can't change those. Well, they're not effective anymore, or they're hindering our ability to get work done. So we need to, one of the things I've challenged my staff with, okay, let's step back, and what kind of policies do we really need to put out there that allows feds to do their jobs, allows them to share information or to travel or to transport thing or whatever their job is, and so the policy doesn't get in the way. So we really have an effort underway, you know, almost making like agile policy. What does agile policy look like? And I've really pushed out on folks to to test that. We're also looking at the whole issue of life cycle around policy, so that you're really thinking in terms of, well, really, how are you going to acquire things if you have this policy in place? How will they be used? And by the way, how do we dispose of them? And if there's a sustainable practice around that, like e-waste, or, you know, why are we buying as many computers as we are buying now? And then, by the way, how do we use them and how do we dispose of them? And what are we holding the manufacturers accountable for? We really need to think of that even more broadly in terms of all of our federal policies that we have responsibility for in OGP.
We just talked about this one.gov domain one, but there's probably several others. Can you give me a sense of what others are maybe are the low-hanging fruit that you want to look at?
So we have 200-plus pages of travel regs that really no one can actually read. It's just almost impossible. So we have a team that is looking at how do we reduce the amount of travel regs and make it easier for, one, for federal agencies to understand what their responsibilities are for a federal traveler, because a federal traveler is only traveling to do one thing, and that's to carry out the mission. So we sort of have a set of travel regs that have gone above and beyond where they need to go for travel. So we're trying to figure out how to rein that back in. That's also in conjunction with the Federal Acquisition Service and Tim Burke around all of the streamlining work we need to do around ETS. That's going to be a huge lift. We really feel strongly there's a case there to be made for a shared service, right, across government for travel. You know, we don't need to be standing up a lot of travel systems. You know, how can we streamline this? How can we have a shared service offering? Are the policies in the way of doing that? And that's what we're looking at. And then it just in general, clean it up.